Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Lamed Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Tes. We continue with a quote from the Mishnah that has been dealing with the laws regarding the recitation of Hallel. Mokoim shenoagu lichpoil. The Mishnah made reference to areas that the custom, the minhag, is to double the psukim, then one should double them. This is a reference to the latter part of the Hallel, the pasuk that we read, Odcha ki ani soni vatili lishua, and the original Tehillim text of the Hallel, it appears in a singular form. However, if the minhag is to repeat the pasuk, and actually that is something that we do today, so one does so. If, however, the custom is not to repeat it, so then one would leave it as it is in the original text, say a singular posuk. Tana, Rebbe Koifel Bo Dvorim. The Tanaic source says that Rebbe practiced the doubling from, and Rashi says, Me'ono Hashem Hoshiano, from that point onwards. Rebbe Elozer ben Prota Moisif Ba Dvarim. He would add to that which Rebbe doubled. My Moisif, so what did he add? Omar Abai, Moisif Lichpo Me'oiducha Ulamata. He started the doubling of Psukim earlier than Rebbe. Rebbe started from the Posuk Ono Hashem Hoshiano, and Rebbe Elozer ben Prota started the doubling before that, from the Posuk Oiducha Ki Ani Soni. Levorech, Yevorech. The Mishnah said that a place whose custom is to say a brocha regarding the Hallel, so then say the brocha. Omar Abai, Lo Shonu Elo Lachrov. The teaching of the Mishnah that the brocha is tolui, is dependent on the custom, that is only with regard to the closing brocha of the Hallel, where we end off saying Brocha to Hashem, Melech Mehulol Batish Bochois. Avol Lefonov, however, regarding the opening bracha, the bracha said before the recitation of the Hallel, Mitzvah Levorach, that is incumbent, it's obligatory. The Omer of Yudam or Shmuel, Shmuel teaches, Kol HaMitzvos Kulon Levorach Alein Oiver Lasiosan. All mitzvos, one makes a bracha on them prior to their performance. So, being that there is a mitzvah to recite the Hallel on the designated Hallel days, so there is a mitzvah to recite a bracha before. And we say, Asher kichono b'mitzvah yisavu tzivanu likro es ha-Hallel. And we've dashed underline, you'll notice two key words, lefonov, just two lines above, and over. But before the mitzvah, you make a brocha based on Shmuel's teaching that you make a brocha over las yosan. So the Gemara asks, "My mashmadai over lishna da akdumihu." Where do you see that the word over is a loshan? Lishna is a loshan, is an expression da akdumi, from word kodem, that it is prior, that it's said before. All Shmuel said that you make brochas on mitzvahs over las yosan, and from the context you see that over means you make a brocha before. So where do you see precedent or a source for the word over meaning beforehand? So the Gemara answers that. You'll notice that we have some double underlinings which indicate the sources. There are three sources the Gemara presents as far as where you see the word over meaning in front of or ahead of. The Omar of Nachmon bar Yitzchok dichtiv vayorotz achimatz derech hakikor vayavor es hakushi. Without getting into the story behind the posuk, what you see here is that the pasuk describes achimatz, running and overtaking. You see, vayavor, he overtakes the kushi. So the word vayavor is what the word we're looking for, and you can see clearly it means he overtook. It means he went ahead of, before. Abaye Omar Mehocha. Abaye gives his source. Vahu Ovar Lifnehem. Now Lifnehem clearly means in front of them. So Orvar is the verb form for being in front of. Viboyseima Mehocha. Others say you can see that from here. Vayavor Malkom Lifnehem Vashem Berosham. Again you see the word Vayavor Lifnehem, indicating in front of. Hence, the Shmuel's din of all mitzvahs you make a bracha on them over last, he also means in front of, before their performance. We start a Mishnah with which we also are starting a rather long sugi. Here we are right now on Daf Lamed Tes, and on the side you can see the nosei, the topic heading. We have an indication it goes to Daf Mem Aleph Omer Aleph. Dinei Shvius. Be'esrog, lulav, be'etzim. The general topic is Shemitah related, and we'll be discussing Shemitah in the context of the esrog, the lulav, and wood. Shemitah, the seventh year of the seven-year agricultural cycle, is a year in which we cease from agricultural activity, and in addition to ceasing from agricultural activity, we also do not conduct commerce with fruits that grow during the Shemitah year. Or, if we want to say that in halachic terms, fruits that have kedushas shvius, fruits that have the sanctity of the seventh year. Such fruits, based on a posuk in the Torah, where in which the Torah says that the seventh year is given to you le'ochla. It is given to you for eating the fruits of the seventh year. We derive, as you can see this information in Rashi as well, le'ochla v'lo l'schoira. It's for eating and not for commercial purposes. Now, how vegetation, fruits, vegetables, grains, how it is determined whether they have the sanctity of the Shemitah year? So we'll see in the course of our sugya, sanctity is established possibly by the fruit blossoming in the seventh year, or possibly by the vegetation being harvested, by being cut from the plant, cut from its source of growth during the seventh year. So you'll find many cases of the two actions, the blossoming versus the harvesting, are not taking place in the same year. For example, you can have something that blossoms in the sixth year, and it is harvested only after Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year. So that would make it, that would show at least if you determine things based on the blossoming time, since it blossomed in the sixth year, so if the blossoming, the chanota, is the determining factor, it would not have kedusha shvius, it wouldn't have the sanctity of the seventh year, and hence commercial activity would be allowed, even though you harvested the item in the seventh year. And to the contrary, if the kedusha is determined by the time that it is harvested and not the time that it blossomed. So in the event that it blossomed during the sixth year and was harvested in the seventh year, since harvesting is the establishing factor, if you are to hold that, so it will have kedushas shvius. Each type of food item, fruit, vegetable, grain, one has to evaluate what standard is to be followed in order to determine its sanctity. We turn to the Mishnah. Halokeach lulav me'am ha'aretz. We are reading according to Rashi's Girsa. One who purchases a lulav from an ignoramus, a person who isn't diligent with regard to these laws. So one who buys from Amitz b'shvius during the seventh year. Noisein loy esrog b'matona. The esrog, which is obviously it's a fruit, and we're not allowed to conduct commerce with the fruits of the Shemitah year. So the hope is that the Am Haaretz will give you the esrog as a gift. That's noisein lo esrog matana lefi she'ein rashoy lelo kol b'shvias. The reason for receiving it as a gift and not purchasing it is because one is forbidden to conduct commerce with items that have the sanctity of the Shemitah year. The Mishnah, of course, is a very general Mishnah. We don't see details regarding what establishes Kedushas Shvias. All the Mishnah is telling us, if you have an esrog that has Kedushas Shvias, you're not allowed to buy it, but rather you have to receive it as a gift. Now, the obvious question. The Gemara asks, Lo rotza litein loy b'matona mahu. Let's say the Amoretz, the ignoramus, isn't going to cooperate with you, and he's not going to give it to you. He's not going to give the esrog to you as a gift. Here you are. It's the Shemitah year. You need an esrog, and he's not going to give it to you as a gift. What options do you have? Omar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna has an answer. Mavliya le demei esrog belulov. Now, mavliya literally means have the value of the esrog absorbed in the lulav. The word mavliya has to do with being absorbed within. However, Rashi gives a little twist to this, and he says, let the Amoritz sell you the lulav at a very expensive rate, at a high rate. In other words, offer to pay him a lot of money for the lulav. Ad shiten lo esrog b'matona. That's what Rashi says. Until he sees that, wow, he's getting so much money for the lulav, so that same supplier will say, oh, take the esrog as a gift. You might say it's a type of legal fiction, but for our purposes, it works. And that is that you are paying, the commerce is done with the lulav. And as far as the fruit, this esrog that has Kedusha Shvias is concerned, that has the sanctity of Shemitah, you're not doing commerce with that. He's giving it to you as a gift. You're not giving him money for the esrog, which has the Kedushas Shvias, the sanctity of the Shemitah year. The Gemara asks, V'leisiv lei behedya, why not give him the cost of the esrog straight out? In other words, why? What's the whole basis of this prohibition of paying for it? Answer, one is not to give money for fruits of the Shemitah year to an ignoramus. We look at Rashi. Ein moisrin demei peros. The Torah omra, the Torah says li ochlo velo l'schora. The Shemitah year is given to us for eating purposes and not for commercial purposes. Shekol peros shvias chayovim lizbayar b'shvias hein udmeyan. The rule of Shemitah is that when the season ends of any particular fruit, at that point you have to get rid of those fruits if you have them in storage. And not only that, but if you received money for those fruits, the money that you got also has to be destroyed. At the point where we're just being repetitious, at the point that the fruit goes out of season, when it's not available in the fields for the wild animals, you must get rid of any of those kind of fruits that you have in storage, not only them, but the money that you may have received for them as well. And we don't want you to conduct commerce with the fruits or the money that you got, and store them till after Shvias, till after the Shemitah year, and to enrich yourself through them. The Ameyot Chashudim Al Kach, the ignoramuses are suspect of doing exactly that, of keeping of storing up the fruits or get the money that they got for them to put it away, to save it and invest it. Lefikach Ein Moisrin Lem Domim Likach Mem Klum B'Domim. We don't give the Amoretz any money for Shemitah produce, to Ko'ovar, my giving him money, then I, the one who gave him the money, will be in violation of Alifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol, do not put a stumbling block in front of the blind. You're causing him, the Amorites, who was blind to these laws, he is ignorant, and he'll come to do exactly that which the Torah does not want him to do. So therefore, don't tempt him, so to speak. Don't give him the money. Don't pay him, because if you do pay him for the esrog that has kedusha shvius, he'll end up keeping the money till after the esrog season and investing it, and that is a violation of the rules of Shemitah. So that's the last point we read in the Gemara, was that the reason we don't want you paying for the esrog is the problem of paying an amoretz for peros that have kedusha shvius. As you can see, there's a bracketed section. In today's shiur, we're going to make extensive use of brackets in the attempt of keeping the main give and take of the Gemara clear and separated from large sections of the Gemara that are here only for background purposes. So at this point, use your bracket length indicator, and you'll see this takes you to the middle of Omid Beis. Having said that you don't pay money for peros that have kedusha shvius, Ihochi, the Gemara asks in the middle of Omid Beis, lulav nami. Lulav as well. Well, the Mishnah said you can pay for the lulav. It said halokeach lulav me'amoret. You're paying for the lulav. Well, doesn't the same problem exist regarding the lulav? Are you not paying him for a shmita lulav? The Gemara answers, there's no problem with regard to the lulav, because lulav bar shishis hanichnas lishviyazu. The lulav in question is a lulav that blossomed. It emerged, its initial emergence was during the sixth year. Don't forget, Sukkot is 2 weeks after the beginning of the Shemitah year. The Shemitah year begins in Rosh Hashanah time. You couldn't have a useful lulav from a tree that had only 2 weeks to develop the lulav. The lulav then that you find during the Shemitah year is a lulav that blossomed, that emerged during the sixth year. And therefore, it doesn't have kedusha shvius. It's coming from a tree, and with regard to fruits from a tree, the point in time that establishes sanctity is the blossoming time. So that the lulav that you're taking during the Shemitah year blossomed during the sixth year, and the sixth year has no sanctity to it, so you can pay for it. Once again, we have a bracketed section. This is, again, use your bracket length indicator to show you how far this takes you. It takes you down about a quarter of the way down Mem Amud Aleph. And the reason for these brackets is that we want to focus the discussion, want to maintain the discussion surrounding the issue of the lulav. Within these brackets, the Gemara draws your attention to the esrog. Why are you making a distinction between the lulav and the esrog? But before we get into an esrog discussion, once skipping the brackets, you see the Gemara continues with its focus on the lulav. So let's do that now. We continue on Mem Omid Aleph. As we said, about a quarter of the way down, the end of the brackets, the Gemara asks, Taimo, and notice this is a long question, Taimo, the reason that you're able to pay for the lulav, we're talking about a lulav that you're purchasing during the Shemitah year, during the Sukkot of the seventh year. Taimo, the lulav bar shishis hanichnas l'shviyasu, the reason that it's mutter to pay for it, the reason that it's allowed to be purchased, as opposed to a gift, is because it's a lulav that blossomed during the sixth year. It's a bar shishis, means it's a product of the sixth year going into the seventh year. Now, we can infer, ha de shvius, kadosh. This would leave you to infer that if you had a lulav that blossomed during the seventh year, it would have kedushas shvias. But amai, why should a lulav have kedushas shvias to begin with? Eitzim bi'almohu, it's mere wood. The eitzim ein bohem mishum kedushas shvias, wood doesn't have sanctity of the Shemitah year. Shemitah year sanctity is associated with that which you eat. Now, this, of course, is not the end of the story, but in order to strengthen the question, that's how we're presenting it. This will obviously undergo change and additional interpretation. But in the meantime, the question is very simple. Why are you saying that the heter, the allowance of the lulav, of paying for lulav, only because it doesn't have kedusha shvias? That leaves you to think that a lulav could have kedusha shvias if it were a lulav that blossomed in the seventh year, and you're using it for sukkos at the beginning of the eighth year. That would have been a lulav that blossomed in the seventh year. It would have kedusha shvias, but we're bringing the basic question into question. We're questioning the assumption, and that is, who says that a lulav could ever have kedusha shvias, ever have the sanctity of the Shemitah year? A lulav is not edible; it's wood, and wood doesn't have kedusha shvias. Again, you see a bracketed section. In the brackets, there's simply background to the question, but the main question has been asked. The Gemara answers, if you skip the bracketed section, it's the Tanaic source that you're skipping, Shiny Hossam. The case there by the lulav is different. The Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, regarding Shemitah, it says, Lochem li'ochla. Lochem dumyu de'ochla. You, the Jewish people, are given the fruits of the Shvias, of the Shemitah year, and it'll have Kedusha Shvias if it has the characteristics of eating. What do we mean by that? The Torah tells us that Kedusha Shvias, is that which is similar to eating, to food. Before, in order to create the question, we said that Kedusha Shvias, that Shvias sanctity, Shemitah seventh year sanctity, is associated with food. But we also said that that is going to undergo some refinement. And in fact, that's what we're saying now. The term li'ochla, for eating, that the Torah uses, is a concept as opposed to be taken literally. And the Gemara explains that now. The Torah, having said, lochem li'ochla, lochem dumyu d'ochla, what is given to you? Given to you for benefit during the Shemitah year is that which is similar to eating. Mi shana also b'roshove. What happens when you eat something? As you are getting hanol, deriving benefit from it, you are at the same time destroying it. You're chewing and swallowing it. So that is the hanol and its destruction at the same time. Items that have those characteristics, hana'osoi ubiuro shaveh, those kind of things, most of those are in fact food items. We're going to get back to the lulav a little later, but those are the things that have kedushas shvias. Yotsu eitzim, to the exclusion of wood, shana'oson achar biuran. Wood is used primarily as a fuel. Wood serves as a fuel after it's turned into a charcoal. At the point that it turns into a charcoal, it's no longer wood. The wood aspect has gone. It's converted into a charcoal. So when are you benefiting from wood? Not at the time that it's actually burning, but after it's turned into a charcoal that you use as fuel. The Gemara asks. Now, before we go on, this section is coming as an answer to a question, and the question was, how can the lulav have kedusha shvias in the first place? Is it not wood? So the Gemara answers that the lulav does have kedusha shvias because it is like li'ochlo, it's like food. And how is a lulav like food? You don't eat the lulav. So the answer to that is that the lulav is used in as making a broom. A very common use of palm leaves and palm strands is taking the palm leaves, of course the lulav is an example of that, and making it into a broom. As you are sweeping, it's almost like we can call this a disposable broom. As you are using it, the leaves that form the base of the broom, the leaves fray and get eroded and diminished. So as you are benefiting from it, it is getting destroyed. So the lulav is like food. In the sense, hana osoi ubi'uro shava. The hana that you're getting, the benefit that you're deriving from it, is at the same time that it is getting destroyed. So the lulav has kedusha shvius. And the only reason in our Mishnah that you were allowed to pay for it is because it was a lulav that blossomed in the sixth year and that was harvested maybe in the seventh year. But since it is a tree, its kedusha is determined by its blossoming. So a lulav purchased at the beginning of the seventh year is a lulav that does not have kedusha shvius. Wood, standard wood, on the other hand, does not have kedusha shvius. Why? Because hana'osan achar bi'uran, as we read in the Gemara, the benefit that you get from it is not like food. You benefit from wood only after it's converted into a charcoal. The Gemara asks, is that really so that wood does not have kedusha shvius? Vo'iko eitzim demashchon? Is there not mashchon wood? Mashchon is, we'll say, a type of wood that is used for making torches, light-producing torches. Dahana osan ubiron shaveh. The hana that you get is from the light. The light is the flame that's burning. So as it is burning, as the biur, as the destruction is taking place, that is when you're getting benefit from it. So how can you say that Eitzim Eibem Mishum Kedusha Shvius, because Hanosan Achar Biuron? It's not so with Eitzim Demashchon. The Gemara answers, Oma Rovo Stam Eitzim Lahasoka Hein Omdim. Basic wood, without any special kavona, without any special intention, basic common use of wood is for fuel. Lahasoka is literally to burn, means to burn, to be made into charcoal, and only then do you benefit from it. So that the fact that there's, we'll call this minor use of the wood as a torch, is not going to make it having kedushas shvius. So as we look at the sugya as presented, we focused our discussion on the lulav. And we have said that the lulav is not a problem in terms of purchasing it on the Shemitah year, because the lulav blossomed during the sixth year, and hence it has no kedusha shvius. The Gemara then inferred that, oh, it's only because it's a lulav that blossomed in the sixth year, leaving you to think that if you are talking about a lulav that you're going to use in the year after the Shemitah cycle, so that's a lulav that blossomed during the Shemitah year, during the seventh year, and you cut it before Sukkis, but being that we go Basar Chanota, that kind of lulav should have Kedusha Shvius. So this led, the answer we gave before, that it, the reason you can buy the lulav is that it's a lulav of Bar Sheshes going into the Shemitah year, led us to conclude or to infer that a seventh year going into eighth year type lulav would have Kedusha Shvius, and you could not buy it. But is it not so that the lulav is basically a branch, it's wood of the palm tree, and wood, Eitzim don't have Kedusha Shvius to begin with. So how How can you make this? How can we have this like this in this misleading inference? Simply say that all lulavim are mutter to buy because lulavim are wood, and wood does not have kedusha shvius. The Gemara answered that since the primary use of lulav of palm trees is to make brooms out of them, the benefit you get is as you're sweeping with it, and at that point it also gets eroded and destroyed. It is diminished. And as such, it has the characteristics of food, and hence a lulav, being that it comes from a palm tree that's used to make brooms, a lulav does gain kedushas shvius. And hence our Mishnah that spoke about purchasing a lulav is only because you're talking about a lulav that blossomed in the sixth year, and you were using, we're talking about the use of a lulav at the beginning of the seventh year, which is basically 2 weeks into the seventh year, which began on Rosh Hashanah, and here we're at Sukkot, the middle of the month. Now, we presented the sugya in that way to keep things focused on the issue of the lulav and its wood nature. We skipped a lot of information. So that now demands that we go back over the Gemara with the bracketed sections. The Gemara on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, four lines from the bottom. The last point that we had mentioned in the Gemara is that our concern was with the esrog, that you don't pay for the esrog. You don't pay the amoretz, the us esrog producer who happened to be an ignoramus, you don't give him shvius money. And the last law of the Gemara said was, well, the fishay mosin demay shvius l'amoretz. And now the brackets. Desanya. Ein mosrin demay peros shvius l'amoretz. You don't give money for fruits to an amoretz. You don't give him to purchase fruits from an amoretz. You don't give him that the money for those fruits more than the value of 3 meals of food. You'll ask, where does this amount come from? So, 3 meals of food is the amount of food that a person will eat during Shabbos. Shabbos is characterized by having shalosh seudos, 3 meals. And therefore, if you give an amoretz that amount of money and no more, we can make the assumption that he's going to take the money and he's going to buy his Shabbos meals. He's not going to hoard the money, store the money, invest the money, but rather he's going to buy Shabbos meals with it. And since we were matir the value of 3 meals to pay the amoretz that amount of money and no more, we don't limit it to Shabbos, but you can always give the amoretz during Shemitah year money for purchase of his fruits, of the Shemitah fruits, if you're paying no more than the value of 3 meals. The im mosar, the Gemara continues, second line from the bottom, the im mosar, if you did give the amoretz, you paid him you paid him for Shemitah produce more than coming in at the tab, coming out to more than the value of 3 meals. If 1 meal costs $3, so 3 meals would be $9. Let's say you paid an amoretz $10 for Shemitah fruits. Yomar. So you should say, Hare Mois Halolu, the money that is in the possession of the Amoretz, Yumechulolin al Peros Shiesh Li Besoch Besi. The sanctity should go from the money that he received, and that is what happens when you buy Shemitah produce, so the Kedusha sanctity sets upon that money, and sanctity of money demands it such that when the fruit that was purchased goes out of season, you have to destroy the money as well. But the Amoretz, the ignoramus, isn't going to cooperate with that. He's not going to destroy the money that he's expected to get rid of. So what you do is you preempt the Am Oretz, and you transfer the Kedusha, you poide the money, and you say, that the Kedusha should go from those monies onto non-shvius produce that happens to be in your house. So you remove the sanctity from the money, and we're not worried about the Amoritz and what he does with the money anymore, because the sanctity has been transferred to some to non-shvius produce that you have in your own possession. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Uva the oichlon b'kedusha shvius, and then those fruits that were in your house that had not been shmita products, but now as a result of the redemption or the removal of the kedusha from the money and the possession of amoritz to your fruits, you now have to treat the fruits with the rules of shmita, with kedushas shvius. We're not explaining too much background of what that means, but when we just in general, for general knowledge purposes, Kedusha Shvius means that you shall eat or the fruits or drink the beverage that's made from them, if you talk about wine, for example, and not use it for anything else. You can certainly cannot destroy them, but rather you use them for Hano'os Hamutaros, as Rashi says, permitted benefits. But to take Shemitah fruits and use them, let's say, to make dyes for painting purposes, that would not be allowed. Bamed v'mamurim, under what circumstances is it mutter to give the Am Oretz money, the demei gimel sudos, the value of three meals? We said an example for $9 you can pay, under what circumstances can you pay him the $9? That's beloikech min amufkar. That's where the Am Oretz, who's presenting to you the fruits, he has acquired the fruits. The Am Oretz acquired the fruits from unowned property, from unowned trees, from hefker. Avo beloikech min amishumar. If the Am Oretz was supplying you with the fruits, that he got them from a field that is guarded, that it's fenced up under lock and key, and during the Shemitah year you're not allowed to fence up a field and keep it under lock and key, afilu b'kachatzi iser aser, even a half an iser, which is a small coin, a half an iser is a very small amount of money, even that small amount of money would be aser to give. So that if you see an Am Oretz who's selling fruits from a closed yard, fruits that grew in a closed facility, closed and locked up and not hefker, you couldn't pay anything for those fruits. In that case, the fruits themselves have grown under forbidden circumstances. He wasn't mafkir them. Mosiv Rav Sheshes Umin Hamufkar Gimel Sudos Vesulo. Rav Sheshes asks, and with regard to fruits that came from an unowned source, is it so that you're limited to three meals value in terms of how much you're allowed to pay and not any more? Veromini, we have a Tanaic source that features a number of different vegetations that grow in Hefker. People do not cultivate these things. And it says in this source, there's a dashed underlined word, which is all that you really need to see. It says, V'nikhin, Mikol Adam, and we also dashed underlined B'Shvias. You can purchase them on Shvias from anybody. Because these are things that are never, you can't confuse them with the equivalent of these that's grown under guarded circumstances. If you're talking about plants or food items that no one will cultivate deliberately, but rather they grow in the wild. Well, what do you see in this source, though? Not to lose the sight of the forest for the trees. you see in this source it says v'nikhin mikol olam b'shvias. You can purchase it from anybody without any limitation. It doesn't say up till a certain amount of money you're allowed. Are you allowed to pay? Because since you're dealing with things that come from hefker, this source would seem to indicate that there is no limitation. Hence the basis for Rav Sheshes' question. So now let's read this in the source. V'rominu, and we raise a contradiction to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes raises a contradiction to the source that we saw before, that indicating that you can give only mozon shalosh sudos, but not more. So Rav Sheshes asks, is that so that you can't pay more? V'rominu. Hapegom vayarvuzin vashitim vechal gelugois vehakuzbar shebehorim vakarpas shebenahoros vagargir shel efer, all different kinds of vegetation that people don't cultivate, pturim and amiser, if you gather these kind of food items that we certainly didn't translate, but if you gather any of them, you don't have to tithe the miser tithe from them. V'nikhin mikol odom b'shvias, and you can buy them from whomever you like on Shemitah, on the Shemitah year. Lufi she'ein kayotze b'em nishmar, there isn't, they don't have any counterparts. These food items don't have a counterpart that is ever cultivated under guarded circumstances. In other words, whenever you see pegam, yarvuzin, shitin, etc., you can rest assured they come from hefker. And it says in this source, oh, since its origin is hefker, since its origin is unowned, so the you can pay the amoris for those kind of things, for minamufkar, even more than mozon shalosh sudos, because it says here in this source, v'nikhin, without any qualification. Who moisiv law, v'hu mefarek law? Rav Sheshes raised the question, and he also provides an answer. Mefarik is to undo the question, to answer it. B'chdei mon shanu, the source that says you can purchase these hefker things from anybody, it's as long as the purchase price that you're giving him is limited to mozon shalosh sudos, to the value of three meals. V'chein amar rabo bar barachanam Rav Yochanan b'chdei mon shanu. The limit, there is a limitation when you're buying hefker from the amoretz, b'chdei mon, the amount of the cost of mon, the food, three meals worth. My mashma dahai mon lishno de mezonihu. From where do we see that the word mon is an aloshon, an expression referring to food? Answer, d'chtiv, the pasuk says vayeman lohem hamelech v'chulei. And in that pasuk, you see that the king is preparing the food. It's a pasuk in Sefer Doniel. At this point, then, let's just take stock of what we have accomplished. We mentioned, and also by way of markings, you can see that this is the end of the bracketed section. So, what we have accomplished till now is explaining why we don't pay straight out for the esrog. Why not? Because ein moisrin demei perishvus lamaretz. You don't pay for that which has kedushas shvius. And where do we see that? So that was in the bracketed section. So we saw that information. The Gemara continues, Ihochi, Lulav Nami. If the reason that we don't give the Demei Perishvias is because Ein Moisrin Demei Perishvias La'amoretz, well, Lulav Nami, then how is it that you are purchasing the Lulav? Just like you can't purchase. You can't give money to the Amoretz vendor for the Esrog. You shouldn't be allowed to give money to the Amoretz vendor for a Lulav. The Gemara answers, lulav bar shishis hanichnas l'shvias hu. The case of our Mishnah of buying the lulav, it's a lulav that blossomed in the sixth year, entering the seventh year, at which time you were able to harvest it. But since it blossomed, it's chanota, it's a tree, and a tree is determined by when the fruits blossom, so blossoming is the deciding factor. Therefore, the lulav does not have kedusha shvias. The Gemara continues now. E hachi esrog nami bar sheshes anichlus shvias hi. Well, the esrog should be the same thing then. The esrog grows from a tree. Its kedusha should be determined by the chanota, by the blossoming, and in the case of the Mishnah where we said there's no problem in paying the Amoretz for the lulav, there should be no problem in paying the Amoretz for the Esrog. Once you tell me that the circumstances of the Mishnah is a lulav bar shishis hanichlus l'shvias, the Esrog also is a bar shishis hanichlus l'shvias, and the blossoming was in the sixth year, not having kedusha shvias. The Gemara answers, take note of the fact that first we just take note of the answer. Esrog, Basar Lakito Azlinon. The Esrog is determined, it's Kedusha Shvias, does it have it or not, that's determined by the time that you harvest it. Lakita, where you cut it from the tree. And the Esrog, though it blossomed in the sixth year, it was cut at the beginning of the seventh year, before Sukkot. Sukkot is just 2 weeks into the Shemitah, so it was cut just before Sukkot from the tree, and hence it was cut during the Shemitah year. And as a result of that, we don't want you paying the Amoretz for the Esrog. So given the same circumstances for the Lulav, Bar Shishis Nichnas L'Shvias, an Esrog under those circumstances of Bar Shishis HaNichnas L'Shvias, it's being that it's cut in the Shemitah year, though it blossomed in the sixth year, it is, we go Basar Lakita, and it has Kedusha Shvias. The Gemara asks a question. You'll notice that it's a long question, and the question we can summarize by saying, who says that the Esrog goes Basar Lakita? Vaha Bein Rabbi Gamliel, Bein Rabbi Lezer, Linyan Shvias Esrog Basar Chanota Aslinon. Whether it be Rabbi Gamliel or it be Rabbi Eliezer, with regard to the Esrog, it is determined by the blossoming, when it blossomed during the sixth year. And therefore there should be no problem in paying for the Esrog, just like there was no problem in paying for the Lulav, and you base it on it was a bar shishis hanichnas l'shvias, there should be no problem paying for the Esrog. You'll notice that we have an internal brackets, an angular brackets. If you follow this to the end, we get to the answer. And let's skip it momentarily. Hu the Omar ki hai Tana. The Tana of our Mishnah, the word here, who, is a pronoun referring to the Tana of our Mishnah that did not want you paying for the Esrog, even though we're talking about a Bar Shishis HaNichlus L'Shvias. He goes like Kihai Tana, like the following Tana that holds that you go Basar Lakita. True, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, who are found in the source, don't agree with this, but there is a Tana that says that the Esrog is determined by the Lakita, and the Lakita was in the seventh year, and that's what you'll see in the source that follows. But before we do that, let's go back over the source in which we see the basis, the background for the question. And the question was, the Esrog, who's a bas shishis, that's nichnas l'shvias, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer, you go Basar Chanota. You go according to the time. The Kedusha is determined by the time of blossoming. And it blossomed in the sixth year. So there should be no problem in paying for the Esrog. The Snan Esrog Shaveh Li'ilon V'Shloisha Drachim U'Li'erek V'Derech Echad. An Esrog has 3 points in common with the laws of, that apply to trees, and has 1 point in common with the way we regard vegetables. Shaveh Li'ilon V'Shloisha Drachim. The Esrog follows the rules of Elon in 3 areas: L'Orlo, Ulervai, Ulishvias. Orlo is the prohibition of using fruits of fruit trees during the first 3 years of its existence, and Revai is the halach of taking the fruits on the 4th year of their growth and bringing them to Yerushalayim and eating them there. What we have emphasized with our markings is what we need to focus on for our sugya, and it says also lishvias, that the esrog, which is featured in this source, is like a tree also regarding shvias. And what does that mean? The kedusha is determined by the time it blossoms, chanota. We skip this internal brackets, it's basically a line. And we read Divrei Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Esrog Shava Le'ilon L'chol Davar. Rabbi Elazar says the Esrog is like Le'ilon regarding all of these things, even regarding the point that we mentioned in the brackets, in these internal brackets. So if you look at these Shitas, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar, the Esrog, as far as Shvius is concerned, it has the dinim of standard trees. What's the din of standard trees? That their kedusha is determined by when did it blossom. And that being the case, when you're talking about a lulav of shishas going into the shvias, therefore the lulav has no sanctity, so to the esrog by the same token should have no sanctity, and there should be no problem in paying the amorets for it. Now, we did skip a brief section. In this source, it was mentioned that the esrog is like a tree regarding 3 areas of halacha: orlo, revai, and shvias. And we continue with the internal brackets: uliyerek bederech echad. The esrog is like vegetables in one way: shebishas lekitaso isuro. That its tithing year is determined by the point that it is harvested. Now, maybe a word or two about that, even though it's a detail that's kind of off the topic. But during the Shemitah cycle, there are 6 years of cultivation, and those 6 years, in terms of the tithes, the Truma tithe given to Kehanim, the Maaser Rishon tithe given to Levim, are binding every year of the 6 year of those 6 years. There's an additional tithe that applies to the first, second, fourth, and year, sixth, fourth and fifth years alone, versus another tithe, the Maaser Oni, which applies only during the 3rd and 6th year. So the first, second, fourth, and fifth years, one tithes a tenth of his produce, declaring it as Maaser Sheni, which is eventually brought to Yerushalayim and eaten there. Now, I have to know what type of sanctity is upon my vegetation in order to know what tithe to practice. If it's a second year of the cycle, it'll be a Maaser Sheni year. If it's a 3rd year of the cycle, it'll be a Maaser Oni year. You give a tithe to the poor as opposed to the Maaser Sheni, which is taken to Yerushalayim. So how do you determine the year regarding tithing? So the Tanakhama, which is what Gamliel says, that the Esrog's Maaser determination is going to be like vegetables, and its Maaser is determined from the point that it is harvested. Anyway, Divrei Rav Gamliel, that's in accordance with Rav Gamliel, but the main thing, not to lose sight of the forest for the trees, the main thing is what we've dashed underline, that the Esrog is like a tree, which Basar Chanota, regarding Shvias, in order to determine its Kedusha Shvias. Rabbi Elazar Omer, we continue on the second line from the top. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Esrog shave le'ilan l'chol davar. Because it says the esrog is like the tree with regard to all matters, including determining its year for Maestris. Well, as you can see with the markings, this is the end of a long question. And what was the question? The question was, why does the Mishnah resist payment for the Esrog when the Esrog goes, its Kedusha is determined regarding Shemitah, is determined from the point from the point that it is, that it blossoms. So how can the Gemara give as its answer for our reticence to paying for the Esrog based on the Esrog Boser Lakita, when we see Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar saying the Esrog goes Boser Chanata, goes according to the time it blossomed, and that just like the Lulav is based on the time that it blossomed, and hence its blossoming in the event that it blossomed in the sixth year allows you to buy it during the Shemitah year, the same thing should apply to the Esrog. You should be allowed to pay for the Esrog. Why all of the resistance to that that we found in the Mishnah? The Gemara answers. We are three lines from the top of Mem Amar Aleph. Who the Omar? Ki Hai Tana. The Tana of our Mishnah that was opposed to paying for the Esrog holds like the following Tanaic source. And in the following Tanaic source, we will see an opinion that says that the Esrog goes Boser Lakita, the time that you cut it from the tree. Omar Rav Yossi ben Avtumus. Rav Yossi tells us a story. Hayed Mishum. Let's read that again more accurately. Omar Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi tells us Avtumus. Hayed Mishum Chamisha Zekenim. Avtumus is the name of a person. He testified in the name of five sages. Esrog Boser Lakita Lemaiser. The Esrog's Meiser year is determined by the point that it is harvested. And the sages sitting in the city of Usha said that the Esrog will go according to the time that it's harvested, whether it be for determine the Meiser year or to determine whether it has Kedusha Shvius. The Gemara asks, Shvius Mandekar Shmei. How is it that the Rabboseinu Nimnu Busha and made reference to Shvius when the Tanakhama didn't make any reference to Shvius? So the translation is Shvius Man Dekar Shmei, who made any mention of it? Mihizkir et Shmo, who made any mention of Shvius that forced the Rabboseinu in Usha to make mention of it? So the Gemara says that the text that we had is a bit terse. The source we read is short, it's terse, and the following is the way you should really understand it. Esrog achar lakita lemaiser. The Esrog, for maiser purposes, you go according to the time that it is harvested. The achar chanota lishvias. And regarding shmita, you follow the time that it blossoms. And the sages in Usha, which was the community, the seat of the Sanhedrin at one point, they voted. The Omru, Esrog, Achar, Lakita, Bain, Lemaiser, Bain, Lishvias. The Esrog is determined whether it be for which Meiser tithe you take, or whether to establish Kedusha Shvias. Its sanctity is defined by Lakita. Well, that having been said, in the case of our Mishnah, where we explained that the lulav was mutter because the lulav was a bar sheshes going into the shvius by the lulav, we follow chanota like a tree, and its chanota, its blossoming was in the sixth year. However, our Tana also holds that when it comes to determining the Kedusha of the Esrog, the Esrog's Kedusha is determined by the time that you harvest it. And our Mishnah is talking about the celebration of Sukkot at the beginning of the seventh year, and the Esrog was cut just before Sukkot, and it cut during the Shemitah year, giving it Kedusha Shvias, and that's why you were not allowed to pay for the Esrog. The Gemara asks, and the question lasts a number of lines, Taimol, the lulav bar shishis hanichnas l'shvias hu. The reason that the lulav can be purchased in the Shemitah year is because we're talking about a lulav that blossomed in the sixth year and was cut from the tree in the seventh year. That's the reason that it's mutter. Ha'dishvias, however, a lulav that, let's say, would have blossomed in the Shemitah year, kadosh, it would be sanctified. That's the obvious inference. Well, but on that we ask, am I? Eitzim bi'almuhu, v'eitzim ein bohem mishim kedusha shvias. The lulav is a branch, essentially a branch of a tree. It's considered eitzim. Eitzim is wood. And wood does not have kedusha shvias. Desanya, and here we have background information. Ale konim, the leaves of reeds, the ale gefanim, grape leaves, shigavavon lechuba al panei asada, that you gathered for storage purposes in the field. Well, it depends. Lokdon lachilo, if you harvested these items for eating purposes, yeshvem kedusha shvias, then they will have shvias sanctity. Lokton le'etzim ein bohem kedusha shvias. If you harvested them for fuel purposes, then they will not have kedusha shvias. So, what do we see in this? What do we see over here? We see that etzim, wood, does not have kedusha shvias. So, if that's the case, why in allowing the lulav do we say that the Mishnah that allows purchasing the lulav is speaking specifically about a bar shishis hanichnas l'shvias? It shouldn't make a difference when it blossoms, when it's cut. Wood does not get kedusha shvias. The Gemara answers, shiny hasam. There, by the lulav, things are different. The Omar Kro, lochem li'ochla, regarding shvias, these words appear, and the drosh is lochem dumi d'lo'ochla, that which is given to you for benefit during the Shemitah year, and hence getting kedusha shvias is if it's similar to eating. Mi shanoso biro shave, that item from which you get benefit and its destruction take place at the same time that you are deriving your benefit, that has kedushas shvias. Yotsu Eitzim, to the exclusion of wood, Shanosan Achar Biuran, whose benefit is derived only after they've turned into coals, and at that point, Biuran, the original wood, has been destroyed. It's turned into a coal. But as far as the lulav is concerned, and we tried to emphasize this before, let's do it again. We said two lines before the shiny hosam, the lulav is different because the lulav does have the characteristic of li'ochla. It has the characteristic of food in the sense that hana'osoi ubi'uro shavan. Items that have that characteristic, hana'osoi ubi'uro shavan, those kind of items have kedushas shvias. Other wood, standard wood, does not have kedushas shvias because hana'osan achar bi'uran. The Gemara asks, vo'iko eitzim demashchon, hana'osan bi'uran shavan. What about mashchon wood that is used to make torches? There, the hana'ah, the light that gives you the benefit, and biuron, the burning of the wood to create the light, are happening simultaneously. You are benefiting from it as it is getting burnt. So are you going to tell me that Eitzim Demashchan have Kedusha Shvias? Because it has this la'ochla characteristic of Hanosa Biur Shaveh? Omar Rava says, no. Stam Eitzim Lahasaka Hain Omdim. Your standard wood, your basic wood, your general wood is for fuel purposes, not torch making. For fuel purposes, and the fuel is in the sense of fuel used for cooking. You don't cook on burning logs. You cook on coals that are a derivative of the burning logs. So since standard wood is for coal making, for charcoal making, standard wood does not have Kedusha Shvias because its benefit is only after it's already destroyed. And we have to emphasize once again, but the lulav is different. The lulav is made into, generally speaking, is made into brooms. And brooms that are made of palm leaves are effective in sweeping, but at the time that you're sweeping, the palm strands that form the brush of the broom are eroded and getting destroyed. The Gemara introduces basically something that's very contemporary sounding, the disposable broom. The one-time use, and you throw it out. So that as you are benefiting from the lulav in its standard use, we're not talking, of course, about a mitzvah, the mitzvah of lulav, but the standard use of palm branches, palm strands, palm fibers, is for broom making. And hence, it has Kedusha Shvias. And therefore, in order to explain our Mishnah, that you're allowed to pay for the lulav, it's because you are dealing with a lulav that did not have Kedusha Shvias, only because its blossoming was in the sixth year. However, if you were to have a lulav in the beginning of the eighth year, that's a lulav that blossomed during the Shemitah year, and it would have Kedushas Shvias. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.